Welcome back to the God School. We have been teaching for months out of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. And in these months, we have not publicly done a communion. The reason being that through this epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, Jesus has been put front and center. Today, we are going to do a communion wherein the elements are in front of us. Now, in all this teaching, as I said, we have been putting on display through the words and examples Paul has given us of Jesus, and who he was, and what he was unto us, many opportunities are made available at this table of the Lord. Now, if by the title you haven't yet gotten the elements, then stop the message, get the elements ready, and start the message here. We have been teaching currently in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we've been at this verse before, the 17th verse. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed be called." That's the promise. Received the promises. That's one of the promises. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. I want to go back, all the way back, to the account of that event in the book of Genesis. Now, Don, you say, you know, just give me the cup and give me the bread and let me be done with it. you know, that's how many people partake at this table. And the result of that activity is they take it not discerning the Lord's body. And Paul calls that kind of participation partaking unworthily. That is, in an unworthy manner. That is not discerning. So, at the table, we teach that discernment might come in our partaking. The bread and the wine are but symbols. They represent Jesus and what he has done for us. So we go back to Genesis 22. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or tried him. Now, I got to tell you, to give you a little context, by this time in his life, Isaac had reached maturity. I don't have an exact age. That's not important. The important part is he had reached maturity. "And God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham," and he said, that is Abraham, "behold, here I am." And he said, that is God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." I want to stop for a moment. When one offered a burnt offering, what was involved was cutting the sacrifice up. And offering the parts, except the blood. The blood was not part of the burnt offering. Think of this picture. "And offer him therefore a burnt offering." Kill him, cut him up, except for the blood, and burn him. This is God speaking. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. God said, go to the land of Moriah. Now, in the Old Testament, names mean things. And the meaning of the word or the name Moriah means scene of Jah. Jah is but a contraction for Jehovah. We say Hallelujah. It's Hallel, praise, Jah, Jehovah. Remember this. Scene of Jah. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're getting an insight into Abraham's faith because he said, I and the lad will go and come. But God had just told him, offer him for a burnt offering. We're talking about faith here, folks. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. That is, Isaac carried it up. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am, my son. And he said, that is, Isaac, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself. For a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And there Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, the reason I said earlier, attempting to give some context, that Isaac was of a mature age, there's no report of struggle, of opposition. in Isaac being bound and laid upon the altar. I want you to think about this. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, who? The angel of the Lord, Jehovah. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God now takes it out of that reportive expression of angel of the Lord and identifies himself as speaking. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Moriah. Scene of Jah. We spoke last week of this scene of the faith of Abraham. Being that God had promised through Isaac that it was a type, and Abraham's faith was such that he knew through Isaac, his seed would be called. Therefore, Isaac had to produce seed. Therefore, if Abraham offered him a sacrifice, that God was able to raise him up. The faith is expressed in this fifth verse of the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. How great a faith. How great a faith Abraham had. And it was seen of Jehovah. take you now to the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. And it opens and says, "And again he entered," that is Jesus, "into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." And this is preceded by Jesus healing a leper. Not only healing a leper, but touching a leper. That's another story. "And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Sorry for the turning of pages. Just don't have enough marks in my Bible. We've been in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 2:3 says, "And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord," that is Jesus, the Hebrews epistle opens, wherein it says, "God at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We have this wonderful record of God. "And he," that is Jesus, "preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." They brought some guy who couldn't move. He's on a stretcher. Four men had to carry him. "And when those carriers," and when they "could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof wherein he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, Moriah, scene of Jehovah, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven. Man, this guy wasn't there to have his sins forgiven. This guy was not brought by the four to have his sins forgiven. What's Jesus doing? They brought him. He came to be healed. Of his physical sickness. And Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I love the honesty of the scriptures because the next verse says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? And he poses to them a question. Which is easier, to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed, and walk? Why did he do this? He answers the question in the 10th verse. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it, King James, on this fashion. Jesus, in that day, is doing something brand new. Something they had never seen. He not only in his activity shows us that he has the power to heal physical sickness, but also to forgive sins. This table of the Lord is a table of faith. Back there in the land of Moriah, it tells us God saw. And what did he see? He saw Abraham's faith when he said, on his way to do what the Lord had commanded, that is, sacrifice Isaac, the lad, he said to his servants, the lad and I will go and come again. A statement of faith. Words of faith. And this second chapter of Mark says, and Jesus saw their faith. We have at this table a piece of broken bread. It's a symbol. Man, take anything solid that you care to put in your mouth. It's not the element that provides the healing. It is the remembering of Jesus and who he was and what he did even as he said at the Last Supper, this is my body which is given for you. A promise. Abraham had a promise. His faith was manifest when he said, the lad and I will go and come again. We have this promise as understood in Isaiah 53, as well as in the Epistle of Peter, wherein it says, and by his stripes, we, Isaiah says, are healed. Peter, looking back, says, with his stripes, we were healed. Like as Abraham spoke by faith, so do we, and are seen of Jehovah, are seen of God, and God responds to faith. So we at this table use words of faith as we take the bread, looking through it to Jesus, and we say, with his stripes we were healed in Jesus. Which is easier? To say Son, thy sins be forgiven? Or arise and take up thy bed, but that ye may know that the Son of God, or that the Son has power on earth to forgive sins. He says, arise and take up thy bed. This cup at this table represents not just the blood of Jesus, but the life of Jesus. Represents that which he gave. And represents to those of us by grace whom God has gifted faith to, it represents the life he has gifted us also by faith. As we look through this cup to Jesus Christ, of whom Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only the power to heal, but through his death and resurrection, Jesus through his life, through who he was, has the power also to forgive all our sins. Will you with me this day lift this cup in faith like Abraham putting the future in the past tense, saying, and will come again, lift this cup with the discernment, knowing that the price paid was sufficient not only to forgive all our past sins, but the ones we'll commit today, and all the sins that we may, that is, not have permission to, but because of our sinful nature, the ones we will do in the future. And say, thank you, Lord, for being merciful to me, a sinner. I take this in Jesus and say amen, which means not so be it. It means no doubt. When God sees that faith, he does respond. Take the cup in Jesus. Amen.